I'd like to look at a scripture in the book of Galatians. Galatians, the fifth chapter. I'm sorry, the sixth chapter. Galatians, the sixth chapter, in the first verse. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I was thinking about how the Lord this morning is always wanting, He's wanting restoration. He always wants reconciliation. That's His desire, that's His goal, His aim and purpose. And I believe Paul in one place, he said something about being called to the ministry of reconciliation. And I believe it includes both. I believe it includes God wants us to be reconciled to our families, to our brothers. One place he said, if you bring your gift to the altar and you see that your brother has aught against you, go be reconciled to him. Then come offer your gift. So I believe the Lord's always in desiring reconciliation and recovery. I think about also the verse that talks about let that which is lame, let it be healed, rather than be let it turned out of the way. So that includes us this morning, and that includes all of mankind, us included. And so we want to seek to be a help and a blessing. And I think about, remember Leah's brother Tim, for a long time, he'd take cars that had been wrecked. And to me, they looked like they weren't worth anything. And then I found out how much he was giving for them. I thought, wow. He's giving more for wrecked cars than I do for a good car. But he saw the value in it. All I saw was all the damage and the wreck. But he would take those wrecked cars that looked like they were ready for the salvage heap, and he'd start cutting on those things, cutting the bed off and getting rid of stuff that needed to be replaced. And he'd buy another car that was hitting another area, and then he would begin to put the good parts together to rebuild. That's what he's been, is rebuilder. Now he'll take brand new ones. And that still kind of gets me. He'll take a sawzall to a brand new vehicle and chop it apart and add parts to it. It comes out real good, but I just kind of cringe when I see a sawzall going through that new paint. And they bring it on trailers. They bring it on trailers. But you know, the Lord is in that business also of rebuilding, of restoring. Sometimes we have wrecks on the highway of life, don't we? Sometimes we have accidents that happen. Perhaps maybe it was our fault. Perhaps it wasn't. Perhaps it was someone else's fault or lack. Regardless of the case, the Lord is wanting. He wants reconciliation. He wants rebuilding. He doesn't want it to be cast aside. He doesn't want anyone to be cast aside. And I pray this morning that the Lord will help us to have that heart and that mind and that spirit and that love that reaches out to to those that are overtaken in faults, those that have had a wreck on the highway of life somehow. The Lord wants to use us to be a part in the rebuilding process. And I think about this verse here in Galatians 6 and 1. There's two scriptures a lot like. But he mentions, he said, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, when we approach restoration, when we approach attempts to rebuild, it says use the spirit of meekness. In the spirit of meekness. And I feel like if we realize, number one, if we realize that we could have done the same thing. If we realize that we could have failed the same way. Or maybe we have failed the same way. And we approach that restoration. It seems like the enemy likes to build up walls when a person has failed the grace of God or been overtaken in a fault. It seems like the enemy likes to come in and try to separate and immediately build walls. What will people think now? What will people do? What will people say? Lord, help us to have the love that Jesus had, to look beyond all the wreckage, all the carnage, all the hurts, all the disappointments, all the failures, and to try to extend help and offer hope and offer mercy for reconciliation. I have failed in my Christian life at different times. There's different places that I feel like I failed the grace of God, fell short. You know, I'm sure you know how that feels. It's a little bit hard to receive it when they come to you and say, "You shouldn't have done that." You knew better. Most of the time when a person has failed, they already know. There's already hurt. There's already damage already there. And I feel like a spirit of meekness is so vitally important. Not to speak down to or come across, but recognize that without the grace of God, none of us would make it. Without the grace of God, all of us would fail. All of us would come short of the glory of God. None of us would make heaven without the grace of God, without His help, without His blessing. And so I believe the Lord wants us to approach. He mentioned here also in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, he kind of mentioned the same. I hadn't connected these two scriptures together before, but Second Timothy 2:24 said, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, So here it mentions also in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. God is able to, I appreciate so much this morning that the Lord is willing to work. I admire people that can work with paramedics. They get to an accident and they'll never know what they find. I mean, you arrive upon a scene, an accident, there can be all kinds of different things. I don't always have the stomach for all that kind of stuff. I'm thankful for people that do. I almost passed out one time just trying to visit somebody in the hospital. My uncle, my Aunt Missy was in a car accident, and my uncle was describing all the little details that happened to her. And here we was in this big ICU room, and all these people were laying around there. And my knees buckled. He caught me by the arm and said, "You okay?" I said, "Well, not really." Another occasion I went to visit Merrill Eck when he had his injury, when he lost his fingers. And he had the bandages on his hand, but I could see through the bandage. It was just kind of a light-colored tape stuff that they had on there, and I could see through the bandage. And I remember, it was this hospital right up here. They called it Bass, now it's Integris. But I remember I was leaning on the little table there by his bed, and there was an air conditioner blowing on me. And I picked up my arm, and the table was wet where I had my arm. And I told Merrill, I said, "Merrill, do you need anything? How about a milkshake? Would you like a milkshake?" So I was able to get out of there, and I went to Brahms, got him a milkshake, and I was able to kind of regain. But somehow those things, I don't know, they affect me. And I know working with problems, working with difficulties, wrecks, there's also a great emotional... It's not easy. There's a great emotional... entering into somebody's hurt, somebody's heartache, somebody's suffering... can be very, very difficult and very taxing. And I can see sometimes why there's a temptation just to walk my on the other side. There's also a scripture I wanted to share, Isaiah, I believe it was 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 7, it says, the fast that the Lord's chosen. Verse 6 says, not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. That kind of stood out to me. Hiding ourselves from our own flesh or our own flesh and blood, but I'm thinking about just in general, there's a tendency to want to hide. or not face difficulties or deal, or not wanting to get involved. But I want to challenge us this morning to endeavor to have a ministry of reconciliation, not to hide ourselves from those accidents and those wrecks, but allow God to help us to to be able to bear, to be able to carry. He mentions here breaking yokes, bearing burdens, undoing heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free. I believe I know there's a balance to this, because I believe God wants us, He doesn't want us to try to do everything for people, and yet at the same time there's a space there where people need a load lifted for a time. In that second verse in Galatians 6, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And this is right after the first verse. It's talking about restoration. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then also in verse 5 it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." The Lord wants people to be able to bear burdens, bear their burdens. But when a person has been in a wreck, when they've been in a spiritual wreck, when there's damage done, they're not in a place to bear burdens. And that's why I feel like He mentions it in the second verse. He says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Sometimes it takes courage. It takes strength. It takes a toll. It's costly. But it says, "And so fulfill the law of Christ." I believe the Lord wants us to recognize He doesn't want us to carry their burden for the rest of their life, but He wants us to help them to bear their burdens until they get on their feet, until they're able to walk, until they're able to manage and able to govern. You know, I think of physical wrecks and accidents are so much like the spiritual. There's damage done, there's things that happen, and you know, a lot of times people are in shock. They don't know what to do. And just a voice, just a helping hand, just to be able to communicate, "I'm here. I'm in your corner. Can I do something for you?" Those types of things go a long way in being able to bear burdens and to help, and to be able to sustain somebody. I mentioned last Sunday about the man that fell among thieves, and the priest and the Levite that came that way. They just seemed like they went by on the other side. That's a temptation that we all have, that we all face. Lord, help us to be willing to be involved with the mess. You know, we feel like maybe we didn't do it. But Lord, help us to be involved, to help, to be a blessing. And I believe that's the way Christ was. One of the scriptures that was brought out that was in Sunday school, we didn't read it this morning, but Jesus said, He said, "I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." And He, you know, they were accusing Him of doing things, of being around bad people, you might say. They're the ones that need our help. They're the ones that need our word of encouragement, our strength. They're the ones that need healing and help. And we live in a world that's filled all around us, and even right here, even among us, there are people that struggle, that are hurting, and sometimes they don't say anything about it. They carry it on the inside. But Lord, help us to discern, help us to recognize and be willing to offer hope and help and encouragement. You know, the man that helped the man that fell among thieves, when you look at it, was it a whole lot? He said he bound up his wounds. I believe that he poured in oil to help, bound up his wounds. He put him on his beast. He took him to an inn. Probably didn't take all that long. But what a difference it made in that man's life. Sometimes it doesn't take very much on our part. Sometimes, some cases take a lot more. But it can go a long ways. The little that we do, God can bless it, that it can be the difference of night and day, of hope and darkness for a person's life. So Lord, help us today to be willing to get our hands dirty, you might say, to get in there and to do everything we know to do to help encourage and strengthen. And I believe the Lord was that way. I was thinking about Peter also, you know, when he walked out on the water and he began to sink. And the Lord's reaction was, it said, immediately stretched out his hand to grab Peter. He didn't just watch him. He didn't have enough faith, sorry. He didn't just watch him go down. Because he loved Peter, he reached out his hand immediately, quickly reached out his hand to do what he could to grab hold. You know, I believe the Lord's probably done that for every one of us. I know the Lord's done that for me more times than I can recount. Another thing I wanted to encourage us sometimes when we've been in those wrecks is that sometimes the mess can make us feel like it's too late. It's so, maybe looks so hopeless from the surface that we're not willing. I believe if we're in a mess, if it's our fault, Lord, help us do the very best we can to clean it up. We have, you know, if we say something out of order, we do something that we shouldn't have done, let's not just turn away from that and ignore that. Let's clean up our mess. Make apologies. Do everything we can in our power to clean it up, make it right. Because that one verse he mentioned, he said, let not that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. That's God's desire this morning. You know, we have the greatest opportunity to be a blessing and a help to mankind in this world, to be a restorer, a rebuilder, a reconciler, to bring people back into into position. And I believe that's what this restore, and looking this word restore up, is to put back in its place. To get it back where it belongs. And that's God's desire for us this morning. Desire for us, and His desire for those that we meet that have had spiritual wrecks along the journey of life. I feel very, very challenged in my heart to do what I can to be a restorer and a rebuilder. Not just to go by, but to stop and do what we can to help clean up some of these wrecks and messes. You know, I think about today, if all the people that had one time gotten saved had stayed saved, what it would be like in our congregations today. This here is a vital function for the church. You know, I think about a mother's capability to comfort. You know, when a child gets hurt, who do they usually go to? They usually go to the mom. The mom is usually there, close proximity, usually. She has a way of soothing, of helping. And it's amazing, a child that's been, you know, has had something happen, maybe he's just fallen on the deal. But you know, in his mind is, I don't want to ever walk again. You know, a small child that's taken a hard tumble, he's hurt, looking for mama, and in his mind, I don't want to ever walk again. But you take the comfort of a mother, the soothing, the ability to comfort, it's just a short while, and what? He's back. He's back going. That's what God wants us to be. There's a big difference. Oh, if we can... I like to get new people saved. I like to see new people saved. But I tell you what, there's a big work. There's been offenses among us. There's been people hurt. There's been people walk away disillusioned, disappointed. And there is a great work today for us to restore, to rebuild. You don't have to look very far in our own families. Our own families right around us. We don't have to go far. You know, the Lord calls people to foreign mission fields. It's wonderful. But all around us, Lord, help us today to have a ministry of reconciliation. Appreciate your prayers and attention this morning.